The 14th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 14th Gene Key moves from compromise to bounteousness, and it's the path of competence. In life, the compromises begin early. In fact, we're even born compromised because we come into the world carrying the seed of a sacred wound that was passed into us through our ancestral DNA at the very point of conception. So everything on the human plane is about making compromises because we're not quite born whole. We're born with this question mark etched on our soul, and our lives will revolve around that question mark. And there are many ways you could interpret this question. For example, what is my purpose? Or why do I feel uncomfortable? And of course, who am I? And of course, these questions only arise consciously later in our lives. And for many of us, they never become conscious at all, but drive us and keep driving us at an unconscious level. So this is the first thing to understand about this shadow, that on Earth, compromise is the norm. It has become the norm. So to learn how to stop compromising, now that's the journey to awakening. That's the journey out of the darkness and into the light. So first of all, I want to get the basic definition of compromise really, really clear, because it's easy to misunderstand. Essentially, there are two types of compromise: inner compromise and outer compromise. An outer compromise is when, for example, you decide you want to go out for a meal with your best friend one evening and you're really excited about it, but then your wife or your husband tells you that they would really prefer that you stayed in because they're not feeling well. So you make an outer compromise. You may be disappointed, but you cancel your engagement and you stay in. Another possibility is that you decide to go against your partner's wishes and you convince them that they'll be fine on their own and you go out anyway. So you don't make the outer compromise. And what's interesting about this scenario is what's going on the inside. So if you decide to stay because your love for your partner is greater than your disappointment, then you have not actually made an inner compromise. Rather, you've honored the integrity of your love and your relationship. Even though you've made an outer compromise, you haven't made it on the inside. If, on the other hand, you decide to go out and you enjoy yourself while your partner stays at home feeling terrible, ask yourself if you've made an inner compromise. Haven't you compromised your love and the integrity of your relationship, your partner's wishes, and even perhaps your own honor? So it's interesting to consider these things in your life, because life is filled with outer compromises. And to live without outer compromises would involve a huge selfishness. But on the inside, that's where the gold lies hidden. How to overcome your selfish tendencies to compromise your higher self, to compromise your integrity. To live without inner compromise is to live a life of deep honor and virtue. So ultimately, the question is one of the heart. Have you compromised love? What would love do in this situation? That's the question. Sometimes it's a delicate balance in life to stay with what truly feels right inside when we're faced with an external pressure. And there's often a great deal of expectation to behave in a certain way in society. So to thread your way through these decisions, you need to really examine your motives in life. One thing that always holds true is the result of inner compromises. When you make an inner compromise, you don't feel good. A part of you shrinks. A part of you contracts. And it's become a habit for most of us, this compromising of our highest dreams. At some point, we just begin to let them slide away and we kind of accept a second best life, a lackluster life, a fearful life. So think about the decisions you make and change the pattern. On the outside, remember, there will always be many, many compromises. But on the inside, stay with what feels true to your heart. What would love do? The dilemma of this shadow is self-belief. People have stopped believing in themselves. People are content to be tiny little ants running around just maintaining the world. You know, Ra, my teacher from the human design days, he had a terrible expression for such people. But it's true. He called them furniture. They're just the furniture. That was his dark sense of humour. But you know, it's true. If you compromise your heart in life, you're nothing more than just furniture on the movie set. So to live a life of genius, you have to start believing in yourself again. You have to get in touch with your heart and with your dreams. And because you may have lived a string of compromises until now, you may also feel that you're trapped. But you're not. You're never trapped. You just begin right now, from today, making small decisions and actions that don't compromise your sense of inner integrity. Even one uncompromising act a day will make a huge difference. It's something to learn. The more you learn the habit, the more you'll begin once again to believe in yourself. And eventually you'll become so attuned to the inner voice inside that wants to rob you of your vitality that you'll learn to discern the voice that says yes. One of the qualities that comes from this shadow is poverty. Poverty consciousness. You know, so many people just struggle with money. In this gene key, you'll find the secrets of poverty and prosperity. It's part of the codon ring called the Ring of Fire. So it's paired with the first gene key, the most creative capacity in the universe. And prosperity comes from genius, from creative uniqueness. So if you have the 14th gene key or you're contemplating it deeply in your life, then it can bring about an enhancement of your physical, emotional and mental capacity to succeed in life, to excel. This is a gene key of great fortune, which is why the shadow creates the opposite. People who just seem to attract bad luck. And you know, it's about inner fire. Make the inner decisions in life that ignite the fire rather than the ones that douse the flames of your love. And you will have to make sacrifices. We all have to. You'll have many disappointments. We all do. But underneath, somewhere inside, you will begin believing in yourself again. And when you light this fire and you keep fueling it, soon nothing will be able to get you down. The 14th shadow pulls your energy down. It makes your spine droop. It causes problems in your posture, in your internal organs, in your glands. But the road back is clear. Give yourself permission to believe in yourself again. Allow yourself to dream and take actions that move towards those dreams. In the beginning, those actions may be externally limited in their scope, but just by taking them, just by even researching your dream, you will reignite the fire inside. And often it's not so much about what we're here to do in life is how we do it, the quality we bring to our role, the joyousness, the sense of personal power. So an examination of this shadow in your life often leads to an inner turning and a kind of challenging of your own tendency to take the easy path, but not the easy path that leads upwards. I'm talking about that. That comes later. The easy path that leads downwards in ever decreasing spirals. You don't want to be making those kind of inner compromises. So take a stand and summon the inner fire and change yourself from the inside and pull yourself out of the shadow back up into the light. The 14th gift, competence. In the original I Ching, you can see that every hexagram is made up of six lines, combinations of yin lines and yang lines, broken lines and unbroken lines. So the unbroken lines represent the yang, the masculine principle, and the broken lines, they represent the yin, the feminine principle. So when you look, for example, at the first gene key, the first hexagram of the I Ching, which is related to this one through its codon ring, you see it's made up of only yang lines. So it's only about the masculine principle, which is what makes it all about fire. And when you look at this 14th gene key, however, you see, it has all yang lines except one. So you might be excused to thinking it's also very yang, very masculine. And in a way it is, but with one big, big difference. That the yin line is in the most powerful position in the hexagram, which is the fifth line. The fifth line of the hexagram is traditionally the ruler of the hexagram. So what we see here is a huge creative force under the guidance of deep femininity. Doesn't that sound good? And you know what? This is the key to material success. If only today's businessmen knew this secret. Oh well, they'll find out soon enough. And it's not about women being at the top either, not necessarily, although that is a natural tendency of higher consciousness. This is about a wealth-generating force that is guided by an ideal of nobility, sensitivity, and service. And the ancient Chinese named this gene key possession in great measure. And they recognized that this combination pointed towards huge success in any endeavor. So you see, this is why the 14th shadow is about poverty consciousness, because it's as though you have this huge inheritance inside yourself, and yet you're so miserly that you refuse to spend any of it, and you and your family are starving, and all your friends are starving, and it's within your power to help everyone, but you don't. So think about this if you have the 14th gene key, or if you're contemplating it and applying its power to your life. Especially if you're born with it. It's like being born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You have a vast good fortune to have this gene key in your birth chart, or to have a friend, close friend with it in their birth chart. It's good fortune, because as you'll see, it's contagious. And the 14th gift is competence. It's an emerging gift in the genetic matrix because it has a lot to do with the collective awakening rather than being an individual gift. So if this gift is applied for selfish ends, it will lead to great misfortune. Great wealth without an ideal of service ends in disaster. So the competence is about being part of something. It's about being part of something transcendent, something huge. The 14th gene key is one of the gene keys that's going to change our world. It has a particular power in business because it's a driving force of abundance. It's mostly fire, after all. So it has this deep inner drive to amass great fortune. The image the Chinese used for this was the wagon piled up with treasures. It's really funny. But all that treasure has to have a purpose. So you have to begin with a vision. And if you're contemplating this gene key, consider carefully what form of service you want to offer the world. This is the place to begin. If necessary, spend several months getting this question crystal clear inside you. What form of service do you really, really want to offer the world? And then when you know, it's as though that fifth line in the hexagram, that leader, it suddenly knows what to do, and you can launch your ship. Once you have a clear vision, it's all downhill from there. I mean, downhill in a good way. The forces of the cosmos bend to your will. They have no choice but to serve your vision. But be patient. You must have your vision absolutely clear inside, and you must continually nurture it. The danger of this gene key is always greed. The danger is that at any time you may be tempted to compromise your dream, to compromise your integrity for some kind of shortcut. But the wagon rolls at its own sedate pace, and the more patient you are, the more it picks up speed. And competence is an electrical force. It's a dynamic gift. It's not just about being good at things. It contains the spark of enthusiasm that creates a cohesive team, that inspires a group to achieve great things. There's a lot of excitement in this gene key. It's going to change our world through the integration of the power of the unit, the small team. And that can be anything from 3 to 15 people. Beyond that becomes what's called a network. That's another story. So the small team is the power unit of collective transmutation. And all you need is one 14th gene key in that team, because it gets transferred into the group aura by means of the vision of higher service that the group holds. And this is the basis of the principle of syntropy. Syntropy is the mechanics of collective prosperity, whereby the total energy or money through a system is exponentially increased through an ideal that's rooted in a high level of consciousness, syntropy. You can look it up in the back of the Gene Keys book. So the 14th gene key is an indicator of success within an organism. The more 14s you have, the greater their inheritance. And it isn't, by the way, only about money, though it truly does magnetize money. It's also about love. This is possession in great measure, and that's the definition of love. He or she who loves unconditionally generates, like the sun, huge inner wealth and abundance and radiance. And this in turn generates friends, opportunities, blessings, and above all, more love. Love begets love. Remember this always. It's a divine formula. The more consistently you love someone, the more your love will over time melt them. Love is a fire. It can't be resisted. This is why Jesus challenged us to love our enemies. Not just our neighbours, our enemies. That's the highest formula of all, because when you can do that, you will eventually transform them into your friends. It won't happen overnight, but you better believe it will happen. But your love has to be unconditional. It has to be disinterested and without strings. So the 14th gift is a wonderful power to have inside. And the key is not to isolate yourself. And you'd be surprised how many 14th jinkies do that. They would rather work alone. But you know, that's only fear. And if you dig a little, you'll find the fear. Most of the time, it's just the fear of success. It's the fear of being powerful. Poverty consciousness, which is the shadow and what the shadow field is built upon. It doesn't want you to be great. It wants to keep you small. It wants you as furniture. It hides behind false humility. But you have to remember when you were young. You know, when we were young, we all had these dreams of being vast beings, great. We wanted to be pilots or astronauts or princesses or gold medalists or kings. It's because we are great. But we learn to compromise that greatness inside. And it's up to us to come out from behind that self-imposed exile. You know, all those fairy tales about the lost prince or the princess living in exile and poverty, until all of a sudden one day they rediscover their inheritance, get married and live happily ever after. Do you think those stories are just stories for children? No, those are stories for adults. The children don't need them, we do. So start believing in yourself again. Get your back behind the wheels of the wagon and give it a little shove. In the beginning, it'll take some time to build up the momentum. But after some time, you're going to see magic occurring in your life. People will come from far and wide to help you. You won't believe how much joy your heart is capable of bearing. And your only wish will be to keep distributing your good fortune to help others, to bring them up onto the wagon so that they too can share in the treasures that the collective life brings. The 14th city, bounteousness. Contemplating and recording these gene keys is an amazing process for me. One of the things you may have been discovering yourself is that when you enter into contemplation of a particular gene key, then it comes alive in your life. And your life begins to send you the experiences you need to unlock that teaching. So here am I in the midst of this deep contemplation of the unconscious meaning of fire and the ring of fire through this 14th gene key. And just yesterday, a friend came over and he taught me how to make physical fire. Let me share with you what an incredible experience it is to make fire with your own two hands. To gather the wood, to axe out your gear, to set up your friction bow, to tension it, to carve a spindle from the raw materials in your environment, and then to create the friction and see the first whiffs of smoke. And then you look down. And there before you suddenly is a tiny, tiny ember. What a moment that is. Out of nothing comes this tiny, delicate spark. And you pick it up like it's the most precious jewel in all existence. Because so much work has gone into getting it. And you drop it in the middle of a pile of tinder. And then you gently blow it in your hands. And it's a delicate art. It easily goes out. But you persist. And then presto. You get a flame. And for me, it was like my whole heart burst open at the same time. And it's not easy. You go through quite a process. but the result is such a feeling of inner power. Talk about self-belief. You know, there's a new me here now. There was me before I made fire, and now there's the me who knows how to make fire. And it's a different me, and I recommend this process heartily for anyone. But the most memorable part is that tiny ember. I could imagine being alone and out in the cold wilderness with night coming in, and the wolves howling, and that ember, no bigger than a flea. It's my lifeline. And it came out of nothing. Well, it came from the sun, ultimately, because that's the sun's energy stored in that wood. But this is the basis of prosperity, and it's the basis of the city of bounteousness, symbolically speaking. You know what it is? It's about gratitude. I was so grateful to that little spark. I was so grateful to the elements for giving me that gift. And bounteousness comes from that vast sense of gratitude. It's the gratitude for the spark of life. And when you nurture that spark of gratitude inside yourself, then it becomes a steady flame. And when you continue to nurture it, it becomes a fire. And when you nurture the fire, it becomes a sun inside you. And the sun is nothing but bounteousness. It's inextinguishable. The sun gives of itself endlessly, tirelessly. Its gratitude is infinite. It's continually refueled through the power of its own giving. This is bounteousness. It's to give and give and give. There's no whiff of take. Take has all gone when you get to the city. We've reached unity, and unity is based on love and giving. Of course, with giving comes receiving, but receiving is very different from taking. Receiving fuels our gratitude. The more we give, the more we're given. And the more we're given, the more grateful we feel. And so it goes on. The highest formulas of the gene keys, you know, they've yet to be revealed. The transmission here, it holds many high secrets. And one of these is the art of white magic. And white magic is based on the law of earthly and celestial correspondences. So every gene key has a relationship to a star, and an element, and a geometry, and a codon in our DNA, and an animal, and a plant, etc., etc. And this law of correspondences, it allows you at the higher level to draw into yourself all the elements of the holographic universe, and then it allows you to become a creator, a magician, in fact. It allows you to be like God. And I know that sounds arrogant, but this is where we're heading as a species. Once we've purified our shadow nature, God works through us, and he or she works through the cities. And the 14th gene key represents the element of gold. Its programming partner, the 8th gene key, represents silver. They form the ring of fire and water, along with the 1st and the 2nd gene keys. So the 14th city carries within it the power of materialization. It can create something out of nothing, rabbits out of hats, but really, not just a trick. This is what alchemy is about. But you know, you can only do this at the very peak of consciousness. You must have turned yourself into gold first. There can be no vestige of shadow left inside you. Then you can work miracles. There are a group of cities which I call the miracle cities. And the 14th city is one of these. And I'll teach the other ones one day soon. So the value of knowing such a thing as this is that you can see the very highest archetype of your consciousness, and you'll see this power of materialization at different levels. It's about magnetizing good fortune. So as you ascend the ladder of frequency, more will come to you. More joy, more love, more money, more friends, more of everything that's beautiful. And the formula that takes you there? One word, gratitude. Look at your life every day and count your blessings. This is the most powerful thing you can do in your life. Focus on all the beauties in your life rather than the hardships. In fact, learn to look at even your hardships with gratitude, because then you'll turn them into gold as well. This is the Midas touch. It's possession in great measure. It's the spirit of philanthropy, of gold, of the sun, of all the riches under the sun. They can all be yours when you learn to give of yourself unconditionally, just like the sun. I think Yeats said it best in his alchemical poem, The Song of Wandering Angus. I went out to the hazel wood because a fire was in my head, and cut and peeled a hazel wand and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. When I had laid it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame, but something rustled on the floor and someone called me by my name. It had become a glimmering girl with apple blossom in her hair, who called me by my name and ran and faded through the brightening air. Though I am old with wandering through hollow lands and hilly lands, I will find out where she has gone, and kiss her lips and take her hands, and walk among long dappled grass, and pluck till time and times are done, the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun.